And I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the epistle reading this morning, the epistle was taken from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is one of the letters that's generally considered to be written by Paul, and probably written around AD 62, 63, 64, something like that, when Paul was in house arrest in Rome. And he's visited the church in Ephesus about 4 years previously, something like that. So he's writing to a people that he knows, and that letter probably got circulated around a number of churches in the area. But it's an interesting epistle because some people have looked at it and said, well, actually, this is more like a kind of a sermon than a letter. And the theme of the sermon and the theme of Ephesians that runs all through the book is about the character of Christ, of the church. What's the character of the church? And Paul stresses that, you know, the church should be seen as pure and holy, just as Christ was seen as pure and holy. So that's the theme that goes through Ephesians. And then towards the end of the book, and the bits, the passage we had read for us today, begins to talk then about, so what's the practical advice that Paul would give to help the church live that pure and holy life and to reflect the Christ that they worship. So it begins to talk about some of the practical ways and the outworking of what that means for them as individuals. But if you look at today's reading from Ephesians, it's somewhat strange that the practical advice, so much of it seems to do with talk. It's about what people are saying. It's about how they're interacting with one another, what they speak. And it seems that rather than bitterness and vileness and, you know, outbursts of anger and hissy fits because people are not doing things that other people would expect, the church is to speak words of kindness. The church is to speak the words of unity, and the people in the church are to speak the words of Christ. And if you look at that passage in Ephesians, an awful lot of it is to do with talk and with speech and how we're to address one another. And you know, there's an interest, the bit where it talks about stealing, it actually doesn't condemn stealing because it's wrong. It just says because then you've got something to give back into the community and those people who are not so well off. So it talks about how we should interact with one another. And that's important because clearly for Paul, the thing that was destroying the church was that lack of unity, that lack of oneness, because of what was being said. It was fragmenting the church. It was breaking it up. That unity and the oneness is fundamental as part of our salvation, as part of what that early church was about. Yes, it clearly would have been destructive for an early church to suddenly break off into small factions. But Paul talks about the family of God. And for Paul and for ourselves, unity is part of what characterizes our relationship with God. Without that unity, without that sense of community, for Paul, there was no faith. There was no point if there was no community. There was no point to faith if there was not that unity. Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles was all about bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together. The unity was a critical point. And without that, without speaking those words that bring together and enhance that unity and that sense of community, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit, Paul says, because the Holy Spirit's task is to make us more like Christ. It is to make us more into the people that God wants us to be and to make us more into that fellowship, that united bond, that united group of believers. The community for Paul was a fundamental aspect of our lives together and of the Christian church. That's what he was focusing in on. That's why the words for him were so important. Running throughout all of the readings this morning, there's a bit of a who do you think you are moment. So if you look at the readings, the reading from Elijah, if you recall, has just had the bonfire contest with the prophets of Baal and won that 1-0, got the gold medal. Jezebel is now after him, and Elijah is running scared. He is frightened for his life, and he's depressed. He is lonely, and he's saying, "I just want to lie down and die." Goes and under a hedge, and he wants to die. And he says, "Because I'm no better than my ancestors." Not clear who told Elijah he was supposed to be better than his ancestors. But he relates back to his family, and he just thinks, I want to die. That's who he thinks he is. He's running scared. If you look at the gospel reading, it's not Elijah, it's not the person themselves that are saying, who do you think you are? For Jesus, it's the Jewish authorities. It's the crowd. Who do you think you are? We know who you are. You're Mary and Joseph's son. You're a carpenter's son. How on earth can you come say you're coming down from heaven? And they want to restrict and box in who Christ is. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to say these things? And just as Elijah had that wrong perception, and God showed his kindness to Elijah through his love and provision for him, just as God demonstrates his sacrificial love for us through Christ, and actually the words of Christ ultimately became too much for the Jewish authorities, and they brought an end to what Christ was saying in a way that showed Christ's sacrificial love for us. They couldn't handle it. The authorities couldn't handle who Jesus was saying he was. But then in Ephesians, you get the true perspective. Because it's not who we think we are. It's not who others think we are. It wasn't who Elijah thought he was. It wasn't who the crowd thought Jesus was. God tells us in that passage in Ephesians that we are children of God. That's who we are. That's our true identity. And it's as we live out that love, as we live out that sacrificial love, as we live out that kindness which God demonstrates to Elijah and to all people, as we speak out those words, that's where we find our true identity. How often does the world want to try and box us in? How often does the world tell us we can't do something? How often does the world question what we do, question our integrity, pokes at us and does us down? How often do we as ourselves compare ourselves to others? Perhaps compare ourselves to our siblings, compare ourselves to others around us. God tells us who we are. God gives us our true identity. As we live out that identity as individuals and as a community, as we speak out the words of compassion, as we speak out of the words of reconciliation, as we speak out the words of kindness, so we become more imitators of God. So we become closer to God. So we become transformed. And so the world around us becomes transformed too. Amen.